Good morning, everyone. What time is it? Almost 3 o'clock? We just got back from 6 time zones, so you'll have to excuse us. It's great to be back. We had a tremendous, tremendous ministry in Ghana. The Holy Spirit showed up in multiple ways and places. The team is looking forward to sharing next Sunday about the trip, when we're back to normal. But for today, let's experience God's Word in action as it invites us to enjoy the grace of generous giving. There's no better passage about the grace of generous giving than 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. So let's turn there, page 820. These two chapters of Scripture comprise the most extensive and expansive treatment of giving in the whole Scripture. So we're going to turn there today. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, a letter from the Holy Spirit to the Corinthian Christians in southern Greece, but for us, given to us through the pen of the Apostle Paul. Let's pray as we prepare to begin. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, and that was the problem. The spring rains did not fall, and the autumn rains did not fall, but the countenance of the farmers fell as they stood among the dry soil cakes in their parched fields, the wind whipping up swirls of dust that penetrated their nostrils with the odor of sadness. Famine was severe, and the people, dependent as they were on their agrarian economy, had become impoverished. The international traveler settles into a chair on the patio of his guest house in Macedonia, and the glistening waters of the Aegean Sea turn his musings to the lack of water back in Judea. Oh, his feet are in northern Greece, but like every good Jew, his heart is in Jerusalem. His people there are suffering drought, which leads to famine, which leads to poverty. And the severity of the need among the Jewish Christians in Judea and Jerusalem make his fundraising for famine relief all the more imperative. And so he prays, knowing that the needs of man are the opportunities of God. His fundraising among the predominantly Gentile churches in Greece for the famine-stricken church in Judea is an opportunity to express the heart of the gospel, that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, for all believers are one in Christ Jesus. And so the churches in Macedonia, they being the Philippians and the Thessalonians and the Bereans, have given generously. But in the southern Greek region of Achaia, the Corinthian church has faltered. Oh, they had made a good beginning. They'd made a great beginning. They'd been the very first to give. They were at the head of the line. But they have stopped giving, and their share of the offering is incomplete. And so, as he raises funds for the impoverished believers in Judea, the Apostle Paul is compelled to encourage the Corinthians to resume the giving that they had abandoned. Ah. But how to motivate them? Should he scold them for not following through on their faith promise? Should he chastise them for failing to complete their commitment? Well, no. Guilt and shame. Poor motivators. There has to be something better. Paul mentally rummages through the gospel for a positive motivation to give generously. And the Holy Spirit draws his mind to grace. Because our generous giving demonstrates that we have received divine grace. And so we may ask, what are the connections between receiving grace from God and giving generously to others? In 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, we discover those connections between receiving grace from God and giving generously to others. As we come to the passage of Scripture, we see, first of all, that God's grace enables us to give generously in the midst of our affliction. God's grace enables us to give generously not only in the good times, but also in the tough times. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 7. Paul writing to the Corinthians. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches, those churches in northern Greece, the Philippians, the Thessalonians, and the Bereans. Well, what grace is this that God has given to them? Out of their most severe trial, their overflowing joy, and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints, the impoverished Jewish Christians in Judea and Jerusalem. And they didn't do as we expected, but they gave themselves. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. And so we urged Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of what? Grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this, here's the word again, grace. The grace of giving. So in verse 1, Paul writes, now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. And in this verse, the word grace refers to divine enablement. By grace, God enables the Gentile churches in Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea to give generously to help the destitute Jewish Christians in another part of the world, believers of a different ethnicity, believers of a different geography, whom they did not know personally. And so our generous giving is an act of God's grace. It's God's grace that enables us to give generously. Now, the Macedonian churches themselves are going through tough times. Their pockets aren't exactly full. Their bank accounts aren't exactly doing great. Paul writes to them, in a great testing consisting of afflictions, their abundance of joy, and their down to the depth poverty overflowed in their wealth of generosity. They didn't have a wealth of money, but they had a wealth of generosity. These churches are undergoing the affliction of persecution. The genuineness of their faith is being tested through the opposition of the enemies of the gospel. Perhaps their poverty is due to the confiscation or destruction of their property. Yet in the midst of the affliction, in the midst of the persecution, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the testing, they have joy abounding. So while they are poor in possessions, they are rich in generosity. What else can that be but God's enabling grace? God enables them to find joy in channeling His grace through their affliction to the poverty in Jerusalem. Maybe you're going through some affliction today. Maybe some adversity. Maybe some uncertainty. Maybe a job loss. Maybe an illness. Maybe a financial setback. Maybe a relational rift. Maybe uncertainty about what the future holds. Some adversity, some trial, some testing. Perhaps like the Macedonian believers, you've incurred a financial loss, or you've lost some possessions. Many of us are still recovering from the flood back in the fall of 2016. Some of the things that were lost will never be regained. A loss of possessions. Just like the Macedonian believers. If you are suffering loss, yet you still give generously, it's a sign that you have received God's enabling grace. When you leverage loss into generosity, that is a sign that God's grace is resting upon you and within you abundantly to enable you to give when everything about your circumstance says you can't afford it. Well, how does this work? In the midst of affliction and adversity, how is it that God's grace enables us to give generously? Paul writes of the Macedonians, "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints." They didn't have to give. They wanted to give. It was a privilege to them. "And they did not do as we expected." Ah, now here's the secret. Here it is. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So how is it that the Macedonians are able to give generously as much as they are able, even beyond their ability, even in the midst of their affliction and their setbacks and their losses? It's because they have given themselves first to God and then to His servants. They have rightly ordered their affections. Generous giving comes forth from rightly ordered affections. God first. Brothers and sisters in Christ, right up there too. They've put the Lord first, so no affliction can prevent them from joining God's servants in generous giving. When you and I rightly order our affections so that we put God first, we put God above our circumstances, then no affliction, no hardship, no struggle, no loss, no setback can hinder the rising up of generosity in our hearts. That's God's enabling grace, working generosity in the hearts of those who are fully committed to Him. It doesn't mean that you give huge amounts. It means that you give. In generous giving, the most important thing is not giving our money, but giving ourselves to God. We see that in the words Paul uses in these two chapters of Scripture to describe generous giving. Paul refers to generous giving as sharing. And the underlying Greek word is an indication of fellowship. He refers to generous giving as service. The Greek word used refers to ministry. And then he uses another Greek word for service, which means priestly service and intercession. And of course, grace. Now, what word is missing when Paul is talking about generous giving? What word's missing from the list? Money. I find that astounding. Here we have the most expansive treatment on generous giving in all of Scripture, pretty much the entirety of two whole chapters. There's no more expansive or extensive treatment of financial giving in all of Scripture, and yet the word money does not occur once. You get the impression that giving's not about the money. It's about something deeper, something more significant than a picture of a dead president. Notice that the word Paul uses describe our relationship with God, our relationships with others. Giving is a sharing. It's a fellowship of the saints with one another. Giving is a service. It's a ministry. It's a priestly service. And giving is a grace. These are all about relationships. Generous giving is not about the money at all. It's not about making budget. It's not about paying the bills. Generous giving is about relationships. Relationships in which we rightly order our affections. Relationships in which we put God first and then give ourselves to others. Amen. Amen. And so the question is, have you rightly ordered affections? See, disordered affections lead to misplaced priorities. And in misplaced priorities, generosity often falls off the list. But rightly ordered affections produce rightly placed priorities. And generosity's right in there. Are your affections rightly ordered? Does God really have first place in your heart? Can you say with the psalmist in Psalm 16, the saints who are in the land, they are the ones in whom is all my delight? Do you give yourself first to God and then to His people? Your generosity, or lack thereof, will answer that question. And so God's grace enables us to give generously, even when we experience hardship, even when we incur loss. And when we are able to give generously, that's a sign that God's grace has taken root in our hearts. Well, there's another way in which our generous giving demonstrates that we've received divine grace. God's grace, or rather Christ's grace, motivates us to give generously as our response to His coming. We see that in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 8 and 9. Verse 8 first. Paul writes, I'm not commanding you, I'm not ordering you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love. Generous giving is really a love test. I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. That's what he is saying. In other words, Paul is testing the sincerity of the Corinthians' love in light of the earnestness of the Macedonians' generosity. Generous giving authenticates the sincerity of our love. That's what the scripture says. I want to test the sincerity of your love. Generous giving authenticates the sincerity of our love. Generous giving proves the sincerity of our love for God, whether or not he really has first place. Generous giving authenticates the sincerity of our love for one another. Generous giving tests the sincerity of our love for our neighbors. Are we truly walking our disciple-making pathway? Loving God with all we are, loving one another as Christ has loved us, loving our neighbor as ourselves. Generous giving proves love. Charles Ryrie puts it this way. In some ways, giving proves our love more conclusively than the depth of our knowledge, length of our prayers, or prominence of our service. These things can all be feigned. They can all be faked. But the use of our possessions shows us up for what we really are. Well, we've seen already how the Macedonians have abounding joy in God that overflows in a wealth of generosity. I love the way John Piper puts it. Love is the overflow of joy in God, which gladly meets the needs of others. Oh, we can give without loving, but we cannot love without giving. Do we truly love? Then let's generously give. And who's the prime example of generous giving as a demonstration of love? Our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And in this word, grace refers to the Lord's favor to those who do not deserve it. Christ gave his favor, his grace, to us undeserving sinners, and that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. As the Son of God from eternity past, he was rich. He reigned at the right hand of the Father, bathed in glory, honored by angels, served by all the heavenly host. For our sakes, he became poor. He who was served came not to be served, but to serve. He who was honored by angels came to be rejected by men. He who was bathed in glory came to be bathed in blood by whip and nails. He went from riches to rags, that we might go from rags to riches. And oh, how his coming has made us rich. We are rich in the down payment of the Holy Spirit. We are rich in being inwardly renewed day by day. We are rich in the possession of an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs every temporary adversity or affliction or trial or tear or testing. We are rich in our eternal home in heaven. We are rich in unending fellowship with Christ. We are rich in being a new creation. The old is gone, the new is come. We are rich in having been reconciled with God. We are rich in having become the righteousness of God in Christ. This is the grace of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He went from riches to rags that we might go from rags to riches. This is the generous grace of Christ to us in the giving of Himself for us in His coming to save us. Amen. So how should we respond? By following His example and generous giving. You see, the trajectory of the normal Christian life is to become more and more and more like Jesus. So as He gave Himself in grace for us, let us give ourselves in grace to others. The grace of Christ and His coming for us is our motivation for generous giving. We don't give because the worship team is full of songs that we like. We don't give because the pastor is full of words that we enjoy. We give because Christ is full of grace that we don't deserve. That's our motivation. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich. Paul moves on to give us a third way in which our generous giving demonstrates we've received divine grace. God's grace provisions us to give generously to the praise of His name. After encouraging the Corinthian church to finish their incomplete giving, Paul writes these words. Remember this, who also sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, not because you have to, not because it's your duty, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all, well, here's that word again, grace keeps popping up. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, He has scattered abroad His gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in what? Thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you've proved yourselves, men will do what? Praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your what? Generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing, here we are again, grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift, Christ Jesus Himself. And so God's grace provisions us to give generously. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. God's grace provisions us to give generously. And in this verse, and also in verse 14, the word grace refers to God's unmerited provision that enables us to give. And God's grace provisions us to give generously. Now, He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way. For what purpose? So that you can be generous on every occasion. In other words, as we give generously, as we prove the sincerity of our love through generous giving, God provides more so that we can give more. And what's the result? Through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it's also overflowing in what? Expressions of thanks to God. Praise to God. Thanks to God because of the service by which you proved yourself. Men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity. Sharing with them and with everyone else. Our giving is not meant to bend the praise of men back to us. Oh, look how generous those folks at Christ Community Church are. Our generous giving is meant to send praise and thanksgiving up to God. Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory. And He will not share His glory with another. God's grace provisions us to give generously to the praise of His name. Our Ghana team experienced this in the past 2 weeks. God and His grace amply provisioned the team through your generous gifts. About half of what we took to Ghana, we left there. We gave away there. The Lord planted your generous gifts in Ghanaian soil and upsprung food for sponsored children and the families of sponsored children. Fair wages for basket weavers. The Word of God enlivening hearts and many expressions of thanks to God. More about what God did coming next week. God's grace provisions us to give generously. So praise be to the Lord. Amen? Amen. So then, what enables us to give generously? God's grace. What motivates us to give generously? God's grace. What provisions us to give generously? God's grace. As we give generously, we demonstrate that we have received the Lord's grace. So much so that if we are not generous in giving, we are impoverished in grace. The connection between generosity and grace is so tight, so full, so complete that if we are not generous in giving, we are impoverished in grace. And we don't want to be there. Receiving grace from God results in giving grace to others. Our generosity is a result of grace. It doesn't come up from ourselves. Our generosity is God's grace at work in us. And so then, let us excel in this grace of giving. That's precisely what the Scripture tells us. 2 Corinthians 8:7, but just as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you excel in this grace of giving. Well, how do we do that? Let me just briefly sow a few seeds to help us excel in the grace of giving, and with the prayer that God will plant these seeds in all of our hearts. First, reflect on the grace of Christ. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might become rich. Reflect on the grace of Christ. His grace is our motivator for generous giving. Think about His love. Think about His goodness. Think about His grace that's seen you through. And then let's reorder our affections. Why did the Macedonians, out of their trial and poverty, still excel in the grace of giving? It's because they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to others. If we are to give generously, our affections need to be rightly ordered. And then rely on the grace of the Lord. It's His grace that enables generous giving. It's His grace that motivates generous giving. It's His grace that provisions generous giving. And then, after you've reflected and reordered and relied, release. Release your gifts with generosity to God and His people. Question we all need to ask ourselves, and maybe it'll penetrate our hearts like a double-edged sword. But here it is. Are we so satisfied and secure in the grace of God that we are free to live on less in order to give more? Is God's grace enough for us? Are we so secure in the certainty that we can never lose God's grace? So satisfied with that grace that His grace holds us well, that His grace is enough, so that we're free to live on less in order to give more. I love the way John Piper puts this. God has made us conduits of His grace. The danger is in thinking that the conduit should be lined with gold. It shouldn't. Copper will do. Yeah, copper will do just fine. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for grace. Grace abounding, grace full, grace overflowing. Thank You for grace. Thank You for Your grace that enables and motivates and provisions us to give generously. We love You, Lord. We give ourselves first to You and then to Your servants. May Your grace work powerfully in us and among us in generosity. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.